Ever feel like Christianity is just a dull list of do's and don'ts? A beige, bland catalog of rules? It's a common criticism of the Christian faith. But according to Chuck Swindoll, life with Christ is anything but boring. In fact, it's the adventure of a lifetime. Welcome to Insight for Living. Today, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll present the first message in a brand new series called Adventuring with God. At the end of the program, we'll explain how to receive the complete set. Right now, though, we'll begin by reading from Acts chapter 1, where we find instructions for reaching our world.
Jim Elliot once wrote in his journal, "Wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt. Every situation you believe to be the will of God." Completely sold out to God, this young man impressed everyone he met with his humble spirit, his radical love for Jesus Christ, and his consuming passion for the lost. When he graduated from Wheaton College in 1949, Elliot committed himself to sharing the gospel with several unreached Indian tribes in Ecuador. He ministered successfully there for several years with his wife, Elizabeth. But when Jim and four of his friends tried to establish contact with the reclusive Oka Indian tribe, they were suddenly and brutally murdered by fierce Oka warriors. In his own way, God used this seemingly tragic event for his glory. The news media, intrigued by Elliot's faith, courage, and adventurous spirit, spread his poignant story to millions of people throughout the world. Even Life magazine featured a 10-page article on the life and the mission of Jim Elliot and the four other young men. As a result, Elliot is now known as one of the greatest missionary martyrs of our time. But that's not the end of the story. Incredibly, Jim Elliot's desire to share Christ with unreached Indian tribes lived on through his courageous wife, Elizabeth. She eventually returned to Ecuador to minister to the Oka Indians, the very people who had earlier killed her husband. She shared the message of God's love with the Aucas, and she saw many come to faith in Christ. Like the Elliots, Jesus' disciples knew what it meant to live to the hilt. As they encouraged one adventure after another, they learned how to be all there, no matter the cost. In fact, the Bible book we now know as the Acts of the Apostles contains so much drama and intrigue, it could have been called the Adventures of the Apostles. Let's open this book of adventure to Acts chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I want to read this for you. Acts 1, 1 through 11. "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth.' And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven."
You're listening to Insight for Living. To download the outline notes for today's sermon, go to insightworld.org. Chuck Swindoll's message is titled, Reaching Our World.
Some of the best things in life happen when we least expect them to. Paul and I have often called these moments serendipitous moments, serendipity, the whole idea of a surprise that comes unexpectedly while you're along your way. It was almost 2 years ago that one of those serendipities occurred in my life, totally unexpected. I received a call from the commandant of the Marine Corps. I thought at first they found me, and somebody checked my record, and I'm in trouble. He's the kindest man. General Charles Krulak is his name. He's been replaced now because it's for a period of time they serve, but General Krulak contacted me and asked if I would come to the National Cathedral and speak on a subject that was dear to his heart. And he, being a born-again man, wanted all of the officers that would be gathered at that place to hear the subject of integrity addressed. What an honor. What an intimidating experience. First, just the architecture of the National Cathedral is enough to make your heart skip a beat or two. And then as I walked into the assembly, it was full of dress whites and full regalia, medals on the chest that hung to their waist. Several of them who were there were Medal of Honor winners, and the commandant along with his staff and a number of 3, 2, and 1-star generals. To my left was the latest graduating class from Quantico, Virginia, that was about to take their first call of duty. I had the privilege of speaking to all of them. It was an adventure like few in my life. And in light of my respect for the Marine Corps and love for our country, it was a great honor to open God's Word and to address that subject, which is one of my favorites. Well, a surprise on top of that, right before I spoke, General Krulak had surprised everyone because he had lined up the drum and bugle team to come in with kilt as they played on bagpipe, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It must have been 50 of them in lockstep and the whine of the bagpipe. I tell you, it just broke me. And I thought, I can't cry in a room full of Marines. I've got to get a hold of myself here. Well, afterwards, I had an opportunity to, and I don't tell stories like this. I don't want to look like I'm dropping names, but it was such a surprise to be there. And he grabbed me, and he's a short fellow. He stands about five, six or five, seven. And he threw his arms around me, and he said, "And so we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the way you spoke through this man in the power of the Spirit of God." I mean, it was like the anointing. And I thought, Jesus, you missed your moment to come again. Right now is the time. When it was all over, he invited me to step into his car, and I sat in the back seat with him. And we went over to the old Navy Yard, where he, of course, has his home. The commandant is there. And you walk into the room, and it's filled with original paintings of the former commandants that go back to before the days of the Civil War. It's just heart-stopping. And I looked at every one of them, and I saw the one who was the general, General Shoup, when I was in the Corps. And we had a funny moment going over there. There's a red phone sitting in the back of the limousine. And I said, you know, General, I probably shouldn't call Cynthia right now on that phone, should I? He said, you can, but I'd have to kill you, so you don't want to. Great. So there are adventures that occur, and we don't have any idea they're going to happen. And then out of the blue, they occur, and we say, oh, I'm so glad I was awake for that. So glad I was ready for that. And if this brief time together alerts you in a new way to those moments, and they won't be that stupendous. That's a once-in-a-lifetime occasion for me, far outside my league, and yet they occur. And I don't want you to miss one moment, not only on the trip, but I hope the trip awakens you to the opportunities that are out there for us. Because we live in a strange society in America where the great goal in life is retirement. Wherever that's found, and I cannot find it anywhere. There's nothing wrong with stopping your work that you've been doing for years, but to retire from life as if you're hanging a do not disturb sign on the door and saying to everybody, I paid my dues, whatever that means, and so leave me alone. And I know what that means. And there's none of that in the scriptures. In fact, I would love it if the Acts of the Apostles were named the Adventures of the Apostles. Wouldn't that be good? I almost said better. I'd be stricken dead if I said better. So it would be an idea. Just creative, Lord. Just a creative idea. The Adventures of the Apostles. The Serendipities of the Apostles. It'd make you want to dive right in the book. Because we can be living our lives half asleep, even though we are middle-aged, with great years ahead of us, even though we are in our 60s, with some of the best years we'll ever live in front of us, and if we are not careful, we'll miss it all, trying to find a place to hide and to turn our lives into sort of selfish existence, this sort of removed from people. Cynthia and I moved back to Dallas in an unexpected period of time in our life. I was at that time 59, and she was traveling with me at that. Almost spent the night on the veranda there without realizing it. Both of us getting up in years when you don't normally leave. You normally stay where things are working so well and you're so eminently happy. And out of the blue, the Lord turned a direction in our life and we wound up in Dallas. Something had changed in Dallas when we got there, however. When I left, they were proud of the Cowboys. When I came back, very few wanted to claim them. And I realized I'd never been a Cowboy fan. I'd always been a Tom Landry fan. When they lost Landry, they lost direction. When they turned it over to J.J. and the Clowns, it was a whole nother story. Tom Landry was on our board at the seminary, and he was a better man than any of you think he was. And one of those fellows, you get up closer to him, you admire him more, rather than find yourself disappointed. He just dripped with integrity. Following Landry has come a whole series of coaches. I don't even remember who it is now, but it'll be someone else next year. But one of those along the way has been Barry Switzer. I've always gotten a kick out of Switzer. I liked him when he was a coach at Oklahoma, and he's sort of a colorful fella. When he was a coach of the Cowboys, he told a terrific story about a kid that he was recruiting while he was with University of Oklahoma. His concern was, does the kid have enough intellectual capacity to make it through Oklahoma? Because he was a terrific football player. So Switzer, as he often did, personally called on this high school student and tried to find out, in his own estimation, if he could make it at University of Oklahoma. So he decided to ask him three questions. He looked at the guy and he said, all right, son, how old are you? And Switzer says, he goes, 17. 17. Okay, I got a second question. What grade are you in? First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 12. All right, one more question. What's your name? Joey. Joey. You know, I understand, Joey, the 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 17. I understand the first, second, third, up to 12, but the... Joey, why'd you do that? He said, well, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Joey. The amazing thing is he recruited him. The guy went on to play ball for Oklahoma. My hope is that you will stay sharp, stay alert, not just in our times together, not just when you're on the cruise, but you'll make a commitment during this week we're together to begin to live again, to step away from the world of the fog and the distance and the fear of the future and live it fully. Jim Elliot, one of the martyred missionaries who gave his life to reach the Alcas, wrote in his journal, wherever you are, be all there. Lift to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Isn't that good? Cynthia and I quote that to each other on occasion. Let's be all there. Let's be all there on this cruise. I don't care what number it is for us. Let's be all there whenever we're with whoever. And the adventures of the apostles is a story of people who were all there, whether it was standing in front of those who would soon flog them and kill them, or that opportunity to announce the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. It was a magnificent era of time captured by Dr. Luke in the manuscript we have today as the Acts of the Apostles. It is a book far more adventurous than the adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Far more adventurous than any novel you've ever read. Far more adventurous than Captain Cook or Vancouver or whoever we may hear about, as magnificent as their lives were. This kind of adventure is like unique. I checked Webster for adventure and I found this definition. An undertaking involving danger and unknown risks. The encountering of risks, an exciting or remarkable experience, as in exotic dining. That's an exact quote, and I underlined it knowing where we would be when I read that to you. Exotic dining, that's an adventure. Some of you are just meat and potatoes people, and you get a menu with 12 appetizers on it, and you're scared. You're looking for chicken fried steak and gravy. As an exotic, to expose to danger or loss, to venture upon, to try, to proceed despite risk. In that lengthy definition, and this is just sort of a capsulization of it, or capsulizing of it, the word risk appeared about four times. Adventurous implies a willingness to accept risks, but not necessarily imprudence, writes Webster. Nice control in that definition, isn't it? Now, all of this runs up against and collides with the way most of us were raised. I can't speak for you, but when my daddy was raising me, there were several things you never, ever do. You never pick up a hitchhiker. Never. When he found out my brother had picked up a hitchhiker, I thought my dad would just absolutely fall over backwards. To say nothing that my brother led him to Christ and gave him his pea jacket from his days in the Navy, et cetera, et cetera. It didn't matter. The fact is he picked up a hitchhiker. You don't ever do that, they hit you in the head and they kill you. But you all have little borders around your life, and as you've gotten older, you become increasingly more danger conscious, so that risk is not even in the chart. And it took a lot of time to think you could really trust this ship to get us up there and back, you know. It was just, you're just not sure. You look out, I just don't know how this thing's going to stay afloat. And it will. It's not really a risk. Well, of course, there's always a Titanic to think about, which reminds me of a great comment someone gave me. Never be afraid to try something new. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Oswald Chambers, in a fine book we all have read, My Utmost for His Highest, says, naturally, we are inclined to be so mathematical and calculating that we look upon uncertainty as a bad thing. Certainty is the mark of the common sense life. Gracious uncertainty is the mark of the spiritual life. To be certain of God means that we are uncertain in all our ways. I love that. We do not know what a day may bring forth. This is generally said with a sigh of sadness. It should rather be an expression of breathless expectation. Wouldn't you love to live like that? I'm not talking about building a house at the base of Vesuvius or, you know, hang gliding over the Devil's Triangle. I'm not talking about something dumb and totally irresponsible. I'm just talking about getting out of your little world. And that's what the Lord had in mind when he planned this unique way for these frightened, intimidated men, 11 of whom he had spent his time with, to reach their world in the adventures of the apostles. Earlier than this first chapter of Acts, Jesus had made a promise, five words, I will build what? My church. At the time he said it, he hadn't started the construction project. It was a prediction that he wanted them to be in on so that they would know from the get-go that it was unfolding according to his unexpected plan. They had no idea when it would begin, but they're on the verge of it. We'll read of it tomorrow in the second chapter. But right now, Luke writes in the first verse of the first chapter of these adventurous pages, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. What would be the first account Luke wrote regarding all that Jesus began to do and to teach? What would it be? You got it. The Gospel of Luke. This is a series of snapshots seen from Luke's vantage point as a physician who is a careful historian and an awfully good writer.
A wonderful way to kick off our new series called Adventuring with God. You're listening to Insight for Living. You can access today's message at insightworld.org. And we'll hear a final comment from Chuck Swindoll in just a moment, so please do stay with us. You may have detected a more relaxed tone in his voice today. This message was originally presented at an Insight for Living summer conference, where hundreds of listening friends gathered together for a refreshing time of vacation, along with daily teaching from Chuck. You can purchase the series called Adventuring with God on CD or download the audio files by going to insight.org. Now, as a compliment to what you hear each day on this program, Chuck selected a helpful book for you to read. It's called The Practice of Godliness. So, Chuck, what does it mean to be a godly person? Is that something God bestows at conversion, or is godliness something we attain as we grow deeper in our walk with God?
Well, clearly, Dave, it's both. We tend to shy away from this label because none of us feels worthy to be called godly. And yet, as people who believe in the saving work of Jesus Christ, godliness is ours to claim, and it's ours to pursue. I love this quote from Jerry Bridges' book. He writes, "Godliness is not a spiritual luxury for a few quaint Christians of a bygone era. It's not for some group of super saints. Isn't that well written? And then Jerry adds this, it is both the privilege and duty of every Christian to pursue godliness, to train himself to be godly, to study diligently the practice of godliness. And so, my friend, you and I need to push godliness to the top of our priority list. Let me invite you to join me in this worthy pursuit. Contact us today and request the book, The Practice of Godliness.
And let me explain how you can get a copy. It's yours when you give a gift of any amount toward the ministry of Insight for Living. We're always looking for creative and substantive ways to reinforce our partnership with you by providing materials and resources that enhance your walk with God. We believe this compelling book will help you. And it's yours when you give a contribution of any amount. Again, the title, The Practice of Godliness. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or give a secure donation online at insight.org. Gratefully, many in our listening family have opted to automate their monthly contribution to Insight for Living. Our monthly companions have provided stability and predictability of income that helps us immensely. Their generosity ensures that we can keep bringing Chuck Swindoll's Bible teaching your way. If you're listening in the United States, become a monthly companion today when you call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to join us again Thursday when Chuck Swindoll talks about adventuring with God on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Reaching Our World, was copyrighted in 2001, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.